Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the Word of God that you gave through the Apostle Paul and have left for our benefit. Lord, help us as we deal with these issues and as we go through this morning, finishing up this area about the offering of principles of giving. And we ask your blessing upon the study. Bless the heart of the speaker and those who hear. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Last week we did chapter 9, sorry, 1 through 5. So we're going to start at verse 6 of chapter 9. Guys. And I did tease you about the principles of tithing. Tithing is not a New Testament practice. So I was teasing. But only a bit. And we're going to talk, I have changed the title, Principles of Giving. And so I've never dealt with this topic here. So it's not like I'm begging for money. I'm not. But there are some principles. There are some New Testament principles of giving that we need to be informed about and to comply with. The Apostle Paul is pretty forceful in some of his teaching in this regard. And so let's read verse 6 of chapter 9 through the end of the chapter, which is not very many more. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You all know that text from Proverbs, and it's quite familiar, and the Apostle Paul chooses to cite that passage. So let each one of us give as he purposes in his own heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, another quote from the Old Testament. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, quote, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. The apostle's quoting a lot of texts this morning from the Old Testament. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you were enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. He's talking to the Corinthians down in Corinthians. You know, the Corinthians had pledged about a year earlier, if you read the context here, about a year earlier, but pledged money to go to the poor saints in Jerusalem, but they had not followed through. And they were a bad thing in that era. You remember the honor-shame society? If you were an oath breaker, that was bad news. An oath breaker was kind of low on the totem pole in those days. It got even worse with a couple in the book of Acts. Does anybody remember some people who broke an oath and kept back some for themselves? Both of them dropped dead at Peter's feet. Oath breaking is not good, at least in scriptures. So the Apostle Paul is making this point to the Corinthians that they have been enriched in everything. Remember earlier he talked about their gifts, that is spiritual gifts of the Corinthians. They had everything they wanted. They were rich in spiritual gifts. And now he's simply saying, we want you to show that same generosity to the poor saints at Jerusalem. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also in abounding through many thanksgiving to God. You can believe that when the poor saints at Jerusalem, you remember last week, I said that they probably resorted to eating fried bologna. Okay. But there were many poor saints in Jerusalem, and they were strung out. They were poor, and rejected by society in that Jewish culture, and so they needed help. And the Apostle Paul says, "What it will result in is much thanksgiving by those poor saints at Jerusalem." Isn't it the truth? While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. So the Apostle Paul is not resorting to the easiness of chiding them about being cheap. That's not what he's doing. He is putting the context of giving and what it means in the Christian faith. Giving is one of the basic expressions, not just money, but of yourself. One of the basic expressions of the Christian faith. And so the Apostle Paul is kind of going after them just a bit. But he is not insulting them. That doesn't help at all. By resorting to insults and everything, it's easy to chide people about being cheap. But how do you go about motivating people that aren't giving? Those people down in Corinth that are cheap. Put bluntly, I think it's more than money, though. Down in Corinth, you know, we have studied about Corinth and those Judaizer preachers that have come in and kind of laid heavy criticism of the Apostle Paul on the people down at Corinth. I think it's more than just money, and I would not doubt, and we'll see it when we get to his defense of his ministry. I would not doubt that those people were accusing him of using the money he's collecting to line his own pockets. That was the kind of stuff he had to put up with from those Judaizers down in Corinth. Now, I don't know that. That isn't absolutely clear from the scripture, but he will hint at it in chapter 11. He will hint at it. He gives us a number of hints in that chapter, but we're not there. We want to finish chapter 9. And so, principles. Paul gives us 4 principles of giving. Liberal giving results in liberal rewards. Yeah, it's true. That's what he says. Now, if you're thinking, that the Apostle Paul is sharing, a profit plan, an investment strategy, give some so you get more in return. He did not say that, or at least you won't get back in the form of money necessarily or investment benefits, but you will get it back in the fellowship of the saints, in the content of your heart. and those things, which are utter riches, folks. I want to go to my grave with thankfulness in my heart. God has been so good to me. I hope you reflect the same reality. I can't remember what it was like to not be a believer. I was not saved at an early age. I was 22 years old. And since that time, I have a full and accurate understanding of just how gracious God has been to me. Not deserving of not one iota. But he has. Liberal giving results in liberal rewards. They might be spiritual rewards and not money rewards. Then he cites scripture. God loves a cheerful giver. I think the biggest issue that we're going to talk about this morning is that whole issue of your attitude in giving. That's really tough. Anybody read Dan Sims' report from Lebanon? Didn't you want to give money to Dan Sims? I did. I wanted to just go to my bank and say, send this money over there. I have to be kind of careful. You know, I'm not a rich man by any stretch of the imagination. Fixed incomes and all. But when he started expressing that their bank account went to zero, he's on our mission field in Lebanon. And what do they do? How did it get to zero? Liberal giving. He gave those people benefits by going to the hospital and by medical services, which are not covered by insurance there. They have to pay for them, and that church is paying for them. People that are not even members of the church. That's liberal giving. Guess what? I believe that it will come true. They're cheerful givers, they're liberal givers, and they shall receive liberally. I'll work something out. I'm not making any commitments or anything at this point, but I struggle when I read that. My heart just went out, and I said, wow, we got to help these folks. I always considered myself a cheerful giver. But now maybe I need to be a more generous giver. He says that a generosity will bring forth a great harvest of thanksgiving from the people who receive it. The saints in Jerusalem, the poor saints in Jerusalem, having to resort to fried bologna and all that kind of stuff, they're going to be extremely thankful for the benefits that come from that offering. Mm-hmm. And they're going to pray for them, right? We pray for Dan Sim, by the way, on Wednesdays, don't we? Tyler, we pray for Dan Sim. Because we love our missionaries. We know the sacrifices that they suffer on the field. Oh, I can't use that on the field, can I? If you haven't read, oh, maybe I'm making an obscure reference that not everybody's aware of. Using the word the field is now racist. Wow. Is that awful? It is. But anyway, he's on the missionary field in Lebanon and doing a marvelous job. People are being converted. He writes about that too. My. He's right in the middle of Islamic culture. And yet God is blessing them with souls. My. Liberal giving brings forth a great harvest of thanksgiving. But now let's take a little bit closer look at some of these principles. Go to Proverbs 22:9. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. We have some in our midst that do that kind of stuff. They work at the lunch line, the St. John's lunch line, and all those kind of things. Praise be to God for such people who are willing to go to work for this. And they share with the poor. Many of you are already doing that. We just don't know it. And I know that some of you are. So we're thankful for that. It's interesting that the apostle and Psalm 22 uses an analogy or a figure, an analogy is probably better, of the farming principle. Now remember, farming then was not what it is now, all right? You didn't have computer-guided tractors where you have to take your hands off of the steering wheel while the satellite guides your tractor through the field, okay? The only time you touch it is down at the end. Turn it around, set it in line, and the computer controls it. Same with the combine. But that's just not the way it was. Farming in the first century was nothing like that. And farming had to produce enough crop that you would have seed for next year. It's not like they could run down to the feed store and get bags and bags of specially, modified plants or seed. We have that advantage. My goodness, we can go down and get enough to plant everything. But they had to get it from their own crop. And so the point was, if you sow real cheaply, you're not going to get enough seed for next year. And so what was the principle? Liberal sowing. Sow liberally. Sow as much as you can. And then the fruit of that will give you what you need for the next year, plus an abundance this year in the crop. That's what he's talking about, the farming principles. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow generously, reap generously. Yeah, today we have a whole body of scientific knowledge, don't we? In terms of optimizing crops in the field. Every time I talk with Will and we get to talking about cattle, it's mind-blowing. The complexities of what they do over there, that's not what we used to call farming. We chased the cows out there to graze during the day, milked them at night, okay? But today it's a whole other thing. But in the first century, it wasn't near that successful, it wasn't near that easy to do. And so the Apostle Paul reminds them, if you sow cheaply, and then you will not get much left. What kind of harvest, however, is reaped by this generosity? A harvest of righteousness and thanksgiving. What kind? Money? Not necessarily. There have been times over my life when Bev and I gave, and we gave a little bit in addition and discovered that it caused us grief for a while. So we just maybe a little bit too generous, but it wasn't too generous at all. It was just too generous in money numbers. But what did we get? Blessings from God. Abundant blessings from God. No one's asking you to go into poverty by giving. Although that widow's mite, she was there, wasn't she? And she put in her last mite. I don't know if we're there. But she was desperate, okay? Most of us are not desperate. God has been good. TV preachers, we've already talked about them a little bit. They promise that you'll get more for yourself. Oh, boy. You give to me or give to this ministry, and you're going to get in return. I mean, packed down and all that, whatever that quote is, put together. In other words, they're promising benefits of a financial and otherwise thing. What is the benefit? It could be spiritual, where there's much thanksgiving that goes up to Christ, thanking God for your gift. That's a good place to be. But Paul is not promising them a shrewd investment strategy. Mm-mm. He is saying, if you sow material for material gain, you will reap spiritual poverty. Does that sound strong? I think it's true. I think it's really true. We want to support the ministries of this church. We don't always get back any financial benefits. Goodness, no. We don't expect to. But we do get back thanksgiving. We do get back thanks from people. Wednesday night prayer meeting is a good place to get that, isn't it, Matt? There's a lot of thanksgiving that goes on down there. Because of what others have done, because it's not just what we've done at all, but others have done too, and been generous. Some versions at the 7th verse, 9:7. Let me get back there. Sorry, I turned away from it. 9:7 says, so let each one, some versions say, should give. Each one should give. But my version's better. Yeah, I know. I use the New King James Version. And it reads, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. I think the Apostle Paul's approach is a very generous approach itself. In other words, he's not demanding such and such an amount. He's not going down there and saying, you need to pay this much. But let each one give as he purposes in his own heart, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, you remember I said that we spend a lot of time, and the Apostle Paul does. The Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit, inspiring these scriptures, spend a lot of time on this offering that they're taking up. Well, I've learned over the years, I might be a little dull, but I've learned over the years that when so much time is given to a topic, it probably means it's pretty important. It's like the Apostle Paul in Romans 4, 5, 6, and 7. Wow. But he spent a lot of time here about this giving and the principles of giving and all that kind of stuff, because it's important in the Christian life. Yes, even in 2 Corinthians 8, you remember 2 Corinthians 8, 12? For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. You can be a giver, a spiritual giver, if you're just poor. It's about what you do have, not about what you don't have. We need to get that done too. We need to get this straightened away. Not everybody gives at the same rate if you measure it by dollar amounts or by those things. No, not everyone gives the same, nor should they ever. It's by according to what you have, what God has blessed you with, you give a portion of that back. Some people are able to, when I was working, I had, because of my disability, I had some additional income, and we gave 20% of our income for a long period of time. Not boasting, just giving an example. We gave 20% because what? We could. And so it probably wasn't enough given, I probably still wasn't obedient. But nonetheless, it's not about what you don't have, but what you do have. So you should be a cheerful giver. And then I wrote this note. Gifts given reluctantly cancel all merit, regardless of the amount. If you give, I'm sure you're going to this morning, about $1 million. But you have 100 million. No merit in that if you give it begrudgingly. No merit in that. And that reluctance cancels that merit. It might even be a generous gift, but if it's given reluctantly, it doesn't matter. It doesn't count with God when it is reluctant. But there's another reason for generosity in giving. God is lavishly generous to supply us with everything necessary to provide both us with what we need and enough to be generous to others. That's the promise. God says, you be faithful in this. I'll give you enough to provide what you need, plus enough to be generous with others. Don't forget the latter. Guess what? As we get closer to completing our lesson, I know this is hard. It's a hard saying. I don't know if I should. I sometimes worry that if I say something, our personal faith in God's provision is put to the test in your giving practices. Your faith is being put to the test. Not because I say so, because God says so. That Christian giving and generous giving is intended to bind us together in a kind of interdependence. That is, the poor saints at Jerusalem, who were mainly Jewish converts to Christianity, kind of totally different in some sense in their cultural thing than the saints down at Corinth, who were relatively better off and richer and living in a wicked city. But those, it binds us together. When we give money to Dan Sim, it binds us together. And then he comes up here and he stands in the pulpit and he tells us and he says thanks, doesn't he, Nikki? He does. He's lavish in his thanks because we've been generous with him. How that is truly the biblical principle of giving. It binds us together in a certain kind of interdependence which otherwise not exist. He does not give us things generously for us to hoard and to withdraw from others. No. Giving is designed by God to produce that interdependence. We are not in this by ourselves. We are brothers and sisters to every single person who names the name of Jesus Christ, whether they're Russians, Chinese, there are a lot of Chinese believers, folks, Koreans, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And giving to those, helping those, is a wonderful way of expressing that love. I wonder about those Jewish Christians at Jerusalem. I was only teasing about the fried bologna as being an expression of when you're poor, you eat some rather basic things. But they suffered far worse than that about what they ate. The persecution of the Jews there in Jerusalem must have been intense. And that's always the case. But as Christians, our giving practice is one, a test of our faith, and two, a bond of interdependence with every brother and sister in Christ. I'll leave it with that. I don't think I mentioned the word tithe except once or twice. Tithing appears not to be a New Testament practice, but rather giving what is in your heart. That way you can either give a little or a lot, doesn't matter. It's coming from a pure heart for Christ Jesus our Lord. Do I not owe him everything? Do you not owe him everything? Why would we hold back from giving to his people? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm going to take the point. I've not always been faithful in this myself. There are times when I gave, if not begrudgingly, at least with a little bit of reluctance. But I learned my lesson. And I pray, dear Father, that all who name the name of Jesus Christ will learn that lesson and keep the generous giving going, aimed at those that we are interdependent with, brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. Help us, Father, to be true to our faith in these matters. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You are dismissed.